Welcome our folks in virtual service today. Thank you for joining us. We have special guests with us, Daryl and Carol Anderson. By the way, kids, they will meet you in the back for Lighthouse Kids. This is your opportunity to slip out. Daryl and Carol, we introduced briefly, so I'm not going to take any more time from them. And we welcome you to share what God has been doing in your life and what he is yet to do. And thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Pastor Dale. It's great to be here this morning. Okay, is that good? If I slip down or something, somebody raise your hands and we'll try to correct that process, making sure you hear us. How many of you remember the last time we were here? Is there hands out there? There might be a few. As Pastor Dale said, this church has been a part of our team, believe it or not, for the past 35-plus years, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And you might wonder, well, how does this couple who actually lives in Wisconsin now ever connect up with Cayucas Community Church out here in California? Well, it's a long story, and actually we are quite connected to you, and I'm going to have my wife explain that. But one thing I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about the hope that we have in Christ, and it starts with our life first. And when we first went to the Free Church and went to the mission field with them, the Free Church said to us, Reach Global Now, said, you need a life verse to go with you for your life of ministry. So we said, okay. So Carol and I prayed and said, what is going to be our life verse? And so we came up with 1 Peter 3, and I'm going to read that. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, I'm going to start. But it says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. That has been our life verse for the past 40-plus years, actually. And we can say now, looking back over the years, how God was faithful in that life verse to us. Now, as I mentioned, my wife is going to now give you a little bit of that reason for our connection with you, and I'll go from there.
Yeah, I think that's a better plan. It's good to be here, very good to be here. Daryl alluded to our connection. The connection is Harry Beyer. I'm thinking that many of you remember Harry and Elma Beyer, and when I was a little girl in Sanger, California, I would run and jump up in his arms, and my parents would go, oh, don't get his suit all dirty, Carol. And he would go, oh, no, don't worry about it. And he would just hold me in his arms. He was just a loving man. If any of you had the privilege of doing life together with he and Elma, they knew Jesus. And they were very instrumental in our family coming to Christ. They were very instrumental in us coming here and being a part of this body. They invited us to come and share when we were missionaries. So that's just a tiny little snippet of how we're connected here. But through the years, this church has been, every time somebody comes to this church, they must be impacted by this quilt up here. I don't know who made it, but even today, I was so inspired by all the tiny little patchwork pieces. And I feel like Daryl and I are somewhere in that patchwork of pieces too in this body. In fact, this is such a good picture of the body of Christ. To me, it says it all, that each one of us has our part. And you have been faithful. And it's by grace, by his grace, we praise God that a church was planted in Belgium. By his grace, we went back to Minnesota for years, and my husband was candidate director, and missionaries came on the field because of you guys. By his grace, we were able to go back to Germany, and there were four countries when we first went back that the Free Church was involved in, and the wall fell down. And we were there, so there were partnerships that by His grace, this little church and others who partnered and prayed with us opened those doors for more countries to be open. By His grace, we went back to Minnesota, and the mission asked Daryl if he would do what he did in Europe and standardize that in all the other places in the world that the Free Church was at. So he worked as the operations director and helped stand. Those were kind of little pieces, but you guys were part of that big picture in praying and partnering with us. And when there's meaningful things like housing my daughter and I when we needed a place to come, or when my mom was dying of cancer, coming alongside of her, and she spent one of her last Sundays here in this church. And then she's just another spot of sunshine. We went to India together. We were on a team together. And when I finally found out the real connection that we had, I just started to cry and said, wow, God is good. He's gracious. He's amazing. It's interesting that we're on this vein today of just honoring and worshiping Him. There are two verses that I'd like to share with you that came to mind. The first verse is found in Daniel. And it's kind of I've been studying all the attributes of God, and one of them is His creativity and Him being the creator of all and just being in awe of Him. And someone had to find that out the hard way. It was King Nebuchadnezzar. and I think, you know, we've walked through a season of hard times in going through, and I hate to say it, but COVID was kind of a valley for a lot of us, you know, a real shift. And I know that God was very faithful here to you all. And Chie has shared that the church remains strong and well, and that's a testimony of His grace too. But I share that in Daniel 4, when Nebuchadnezzar was restored, he said, I bless the Most High. I praise and honor Him who lives forever, for His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to His will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stray His hand or say, what have you done? I think that it's important for us to recognize who we are, nothing. And we're humbled. And we recognize who He is, everything. He offers us salvation. And you guys have faithfully partnered with us to proclaim that among the nations. And it's a beautiful picture, just like this patchwork quilt. So my verse that I leave with you that's on my heart this morning is Philippians 1, 3 through 6. I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to bring that to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's my heart for this body. But I know that's ultimately my heart because that's the Father's heart. And that's the heart for the body of Christ. So if we think about this as being the Cayucas community, it's the worldwide church as well. That is, we're a patchwork. And thank you so much. I just count it a privilege to be able to tell you thank you. And we look forward to talking. I was so thankful that someone came up and just told me of the connection here with the buyers. So please, I welcome you to come and reminisce with us afterwards too.
Do you want to take this one with you?
Yes, I'm thankful to the buyers for their impact on my wife's life and the fact that we could be partners in ministry now going on for 47 years. September 6th, it'll be anniversary number 47. So wonderful time we've had together in ministry. And it's absolutely incredible to believe that we're at this stage in our life to look back and to see what God has done and the privilege we've had in that. And just by the way, sort of by the numbers, because sometimes it's interesting to know this, like we've said, this church, how long this church has been supporting us. I checked with our accounting department, actually, and that meant something like $92,556.90 that this church has supported us over the years. And you know what that tells me? A lot of different things. But a lot of people think, oh, I don't do much. And you might think that, you know, well, really, we didn't do that much. You did a great deal. And when you see the sum total of what this church has done, the number of people that have touched our lives, not just the buyers, but other people in this church, other pastors in this church over the years, the thank you cards that come out from this church, the Christmas gifts that have come out from this church to us have all been an encouragement to us. You know, Che here, how she, my wife mentioned how much she's been an encouragement to us and other members here. And so it's wonderful to be back with her and her concern for our comfort. She is so concerned that her bed wouldn't be long enough for me. Now, if you know Che, you know, okay, she looks up at me and she thinks I'm a giant. I'm really not that big. I'm 6'2", but for Che, she thinks I must be a giant. She can't imagine that I could fit in this bed. I said, Che, it's a regular bed, double bed. I'll fit fine in it. And I said, Che, you've traveled around the world. I have too. I've slept in a lot different beds than this, you know, straw beds, horsehair beds. Some of the harder ones are the Tommy mats. You know what a Tommy mat is? It's like sleeping on this ground. Now, that's Japanese. Now, Che said, what do you mean? What's wrong with a tatami mat? I like those. They're comfortable. They're not a bed. They're just a piece of wood to sleep on. But anyway, it's always a joy to be back and connect again. As Carol mentioned, you know, we've had a lot of different facets to the ministry. I'll mention a couple more of those as we go along. And it's just incredible. The number of countries that the Lord has allowed us to visit have been over 47, 8 different countries of ministry. Delta, our airline that we go with mostly, says that I've put on more than 1.7 million miles with Delta. So that's a lot of time sitting in an airplane, let me tell you. And probably one of the most enjoyable or most inspiring times that we've had have been in some of the countries where we've started ministry called Global Fingerprints, which some of you might be familiar with. It's our child sponsorship program with the Free Church. And so Global Fingerprints goes into places like Congo, where we've served, or India. I know some of you were here with, when we've had other missionaries, I think I've talked about Global Fingerprints here. But anyway, where we go into an area that is desolate and we sponsor children so that those children can have hope in Christ and eventually come into the body of Christ. And we've planted a number of churches in India and Africa and other places through those children's ministries. And we've had the privilege of visiting those that give us great hope. And I think that hope is, you know, something that our society at least is losing today. And it has a lot to do with the fact that we're losing contact with who God is, and we're more dependent on just the society that lives for today. I was watching a documentary, probably some of you saw that on PBS, just a few weeks ago on the new James Webb Space Telescope. That's absolutely incredible. I mean, this is... new insight into the universe. Some four, at least when they started, it's longer now, some 400,000 light years out. Now, a light year is incredible. I can't even imagine what a light year is, much less 400,000. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. So light takes, from the sun to the earth, takes almost 8 minutes. So that's 8 minutes. You consider 8 minutes of 24 hours, 24 times seven times a whole year, 400,000. I mean, it just boggles your mind how far that is. And to see those pictures of the galaxies and, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of galaxies out in the universe, it's just absolutely mind-boggling and amazing and wonderful on the one hand. But what's interesting is you hear a couple of astrophysicists talk. They see all of the same information, and one astrophysicist that has all the same facts, sees all the same information, declares like the psalmist did, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies declare his handiwork." And the other astrophysicist says, "There's no God. This goes to nothing." And the step, to me, it's amazing to think of a step of faith that you could see our universe and say, yeah, there's no God. All of this came out of nothing. I mean, that's the first step of faith that's absolutely credible. I mean, to believe that something, material matter, can come out of nothing is just mind-boggling that you could believe something like that. And then not only, that first step, you believe that something comes out of nothing, and then you have to believe that after that, this magnificent universe in, incredible details and how we were formed and made as humans, but how the universe goes, all happened by random chance. That's even almost as hard to believe. And then if you believe that, you have to believe that we as humans have no purpose in life other than maybe procreate, but really no purpose in life. So we're born and we die for no real reason. And the more that philosophy spreads throughout society, the more there's no hope. And people understand that right away. People understand if my life has no purpose at all, I might as well eat, drink, and be merry, be a heathen. Who cares what? That's one avenue to take. Or depression and suicide, which is the other two. Those two avenues you see more and more in our society. People are just depressed. Psychologists and drug manufacturers are making zillions of dollars because of that. And that more and more depression, there's just that lack of hope. And this is where the passage of Peter has become so important, that people would see the hope that is in us by the world around us. So they would ask us, how can you have hope in this world? The privilege of traveling around the world, it's interesting. I've been able to talk to a lot of different people in a lot of different cultures. And there's five questions that always come up in every society that people ask, and those five ones, I'm going to say what they are, and I think you'll know them right away, is one, everybody wants to know, how did life begin? How did this world come into being? Scientists have one way to answer it, obviously Christians another. Second is, why is there evil in this world? Everybody knows there's evil in this world, but how did it come about? Why should there be? Why is there evil in my life? Why is there evil men like a Hitler or others? Why is that evil here? In a world that should be, it's getting better and created. How did evil enter? And then how do you handle evil in our own lives or others? People ask themselves that question. And then the fourth one, which, as I mentioned, is probably the most important, is what is the purpose of life? Everybody asks that question of themselves. And if you can't come up with a good reason, you're led to despair. What is the purpose of life? And then finally, what happens after death? And I don't care who you are or the astrophysicist who thinks that he can understand the world and everything about him. At 2 in the morning, when he's having family problems and the world isn't going the way he wants and the washing machine's broken and you name it, all the problems that we have in daily life, people start wondering, what's the purpose in life, and start asking those kinds of questions. And that allows us to share the good news about what the purpose is life. And of course, the scriptures are very clear to answer all five of those questions. God created the heavens and earth. We as men fell. Evil came into the world. The answer to that evil is God answered himself by sending his son, Jesus Christ, that we have a purpose in life, and that purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever and ever and ever. And can you imagine that? The more I see the universe expansion through the James Webb Space Telescope, I think, wow, we have a whole eternity to explore a universe that goes on forever. What a glorious future we have as believers. But purpose now is to glorify God and to share. James I. Packer puts it this way. He says, our purpose is to know God and to make him known. While we're here on earth, that's our purpose, to know God and to make him known. To know God that gives us hope, and then to make him hope known, to share that hope. And then finally, what happens after death? And God gives us the answer to that, which we know is to be with him and enjoy him forever. So those five questions come up. So it's amazing to me, God answers those questions. He made us that. And one other thing about we as human beings, the way we are created, and why people have to ask that question about hope, is because God created us in his image. We know that. We've told that in Scripture. But the main two reasons that, I mean, the main two aspects of that creation are, one, we were created in God's image in that we have the ability to love. God, in Scripture we read, God is love, and lived in community. God gives us that ability to love for a reason. It's to love him, and so that we can receive God's love. So that's one aspect of being created. The other one is, we read in Scripture of Ecclesiastes 3, where it really says God put eternity in man's heart. So we know that everybody on this earth has this desire to be loved and to love, and understands that we are not finite individuals, that actually we're created for eternity. So no matter what somebody says to me about what they believe or don't believe, I know what they're struggling with in their mind. And to be able to give them the hope that we have in Christ is, to me, an incredible privilege that we've had. I'm going to give an illustration of that in a minute, but one thing I'd like to say is we've traveled around the world. I think the places that we've seen the most hope and joy are the places that physically, materially, are the most desperate. Carol and I had the privilege of going to Congo a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, or 5 years ago. She's saying five. I believe it, even though it doesn't seem like it. So we flew up to Congo, or flew into Kinshasa, and then flew up to where our work ministry is, up in the jungles of North Africa, in the northern part of Congo. And we arrived in Gemena, the major city there, city of 80,000 people, no electricity, no water, by the way, 80,000 people. So we arrived there, and then we stayed there. We were staying there one night, and they said, okay, you're going to preach tomorrow morning in a church that's, you know, quite a ways, actually, from Gemena. I said, okay, what time do we need to go? We need to get up at 4 o'clock, okay? How are we going to get there? Well, you and Carol are going to take a four-wheeler, and you're going to go through the jungle on this four-wheeler, and it's going to take about 4 hours for you to get there. So you're going to go on this jungle four-wheel for 4 hours, and then you're going to preach to a church there as soon as you get there. I said, oh, great. Hope I'm up to it. The Lord gives us strength. But So it was an incredible ride through the jungle and through the waters and through wondering what was coming next in the bush, etc. But actually spectacular, glorious ride in another way because we made it and there and back. So we get to this village and the Africans in that area are starting to come to church, and you know, eventually about 600 show up. Now, we didn't know, but a couple of weeks previously, a storm blew through there and blew their church and everything over. Now, it wasn't much of a structure, so that wasn't difficult to do. It didn't take much of a storm. But anyway, so they built a shed with some, not really a shed, but they built a structure that added some shade, at least for Carol and I, and things like that. So there's 600 people out there worshiping the Lord. And the worship that they had was absolutely incredible, singing praises to God, dancing before the Lord when it was 90 degrees and 90% humidity. You know, we could barely stake it in the shade. But to see them worship God and have hope, because their hope was not in this present age, but in the age to come. And they were so thankful that we would come out to visit them and to speak to them. They wanted to give us a gift, and which was wonderful. And so we, you know, after the service was over, Carol and I went and sat down in the little lean-to that they had to have some shade. And it was taking a long time. You know, after about 20 or 30 minutes, we'd go, what's happening? So finally they called us over. They said, well, we want to give you a gift. And so here's a gift. The first gift was 10 eggs, which is a big deal. And then it was a pineapple that they wanted to give us. And they said, and we wanted to give you a goat. The problem is the goat escaped, and we've had troubles finding the goat. It was credible, but, you know, we were so humbled by their gift. I mean, that was an extravagant gift to give us. Extravagant. And they said, okay, well, you can go back, but we're going to get you that goat. And so we went back to Gemina. A couple of days later, the goat shows up. Carol's always wanted a goat. She still does. But we couldn't take it back with us, so we had to leave it there. I don't think we left it. I actually thought we ate it a couple of days later, but we're not asking a lot of questions about that. But the hope that you see in those societies when you compare it to what we have here and the lack of hope is incredible, and the difference is Christ Jesus that lives in us. I want to tell a final story about a mentor of ours. The mentor is a man named H.O.J. Brown, Dr. Brown, and his wife is Grace, was Grace Brown. When I first started seminary, Joe and Grace, he was a professor at seminary, said, met us, and they said, we'd like to take you in to our house. You know, Carol and I were young kids in seminary, and we had no kids. And so they said, well, why don't you just meet with us once a week, and we'll have dinner together, we'll talk about the things of life. And we did that. We developed a wonderful relationship, and they taught us about how to be a family, raising kids, theology, of course, talking to Joe. And Joe passed away a few years ago, and Grace passed away about 2 years ago. I think it was Carol. The last couple of weeks of her life, Grace asked Carol if she would come out and spend a week with her in hospice care, and she lived in Charlotte, North Carolina at the time. And so Carol flew out there and spent that week with her, and it was a wonderful week for both of them, and a wonderful relationship. Well, let me tell you just this one story about Joe Brown. Joe Brown was brilliant. Brilliant. And when I say brilliant, I'll spell that out for you. He was an A student all the way through high school. In fact, so much so that he was admitted to Harvard Medical School to study medicine. Now, you're all familiar with Harvard. Harvard university, okay, to get into the medical program, the science program, takes something. So got into the program. Joe graduated class valedictorian from Harvard Medical School. John F. Kennedy was actually part of one of the people in that graduating class. So when I say Joe was brilliant, I'm talking about on every level. Number one university, hardest subject, class valedictorian for Harvard University. Problem was, Joe didn't know the Lord. And as brilliant as he was, he figured out not long after that, even after graduating as sort of the pinnacle, that, or not figured it out, but started wondering what was the purpose of life. He had everything, or he was going to have everything. He was accepted into Harvard Medical School. He'd be a doctor, probably a famous world-renowned doctor with his talents and skills. But the question of what's the purpose of life was gnawing on him tremendously, to the point that he was pretty well going into a state of depression. And at that point, he got onto a train and was going back home for the summer. And, you know, thinking and pondering. And one thing I might ask you at this point is, you know, if you met somebody like Joe Brown, knowing his background, how... what I want to say, how difficult do you think it would be to go up and share the Lord with him? I mean, here's this brilliant guy, and you're thinking, he probably has the answer to everything. Anything I try to say, I wonder about, you know, he's probably thought, you know, three or four times further down the line than I am about an answer to any question I might ask. But anyway, Joe was in this state of depression. He got on the train and was going down there. And this young girl got on the train, got in the car where he was, started talking to him, assessed the fact that he was in depression. And the girl said to him, these three simple words is, "You need Jesus. You need Jesus." God used just those three words that transformed the mind of Dr. H.O.J. Brown into a believer. And his mind was transformed, went, got, you know, connected with a church, grew, actually went back to Harvard, got his PhD in theology instead of medicine from Harvard before he went on. But that changed his life, those three words by that girl. And I know that he was anxious to get into heaven to find her, to say thank you. And I would say the same thing for Carol and I. We'll be thankful to get into heaven to say thank you to that girl for saying, "You need Jesus," to Joe Brown, because you changed his life. He changed our life to work and serve the Lord. I only say that, I mean, I love that story because it's such an incredible encouragement to me and hope that we have, that God can use anything to transform somebody's life. We don't have to be wizards or brilliant or anything to tell people that they need Jesus. And it's not our responsibility to try to make any arguments. God will do that as he needs to give us the hope that we need for life in him. So thank you once again for, man, the incredible impact that you all have had in our lives month after month. You might not know this, but when we got the monthly ministry reports that said who was giving support, this church always showed up. And so we could every month be reminded of your faithfulness to us. And that was always the hope, that an encouragement that was greatly needed for us to continue our ministry. So thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, we do come to you in thanks that you are the one that provides hope and purpose and direction. And Father, we know that that comes through you, but comes through your family. And Carol and I are so thankful that we have been able to receive that hope and encouragement that you provided through this church over these past 35 plus years. Father, that I know that there's a number here that think, well, what did I have to do with that? But Father, each one did as they've given and supported the ministry of this church, and the ministry of this church supported us. And Father, we know it's all just a part. It's a simple part that each one of us can have in encouraging one another that we need Jesus. Father, we are blessed and encouraged and give you thanks for the joy that we have in worshiping you this day and all that you provide for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Daryl. Well, if you know Jesus, you have hope, which means you walk out with the out the door today with something to give to somebody else. What a great apologetic. You know, we get all tripped up and hung up about how we can answer all the imponderable questions. People just need a simple introduction to a person. And we can do that by God's grace. I want to say farewell to those of you in our virtual service today. Hope you can get back with us if you're in town. And to the rest of us, we got our marching orders. So let's go get them. For those of you that will be back with us, by the way, we're coming into the hope section of the book of Romans in a couple of weeks. So we're going to dig into that even more and whet your appetite a little bit. Have a great day.